Cool. How are we going? Have we got anything? Not yet. Maybe that's me. If it doesn't work, that's okay. Fiona will be able to advance it on herself. That's the laser pointer. That's not going to do anything. Nothing? Oh, I might have to get you to do it, Fiona. I might have to forego the clicking. Ah! Well, that's probably you, isn't it? It'll come. It'll come. It'll be good when it comes. All right. Fantastic. So 2 weeks ago, Wilson started our series of parables, and he spoke about the Good Samaritan. And last week, Ruby shared on the parable of the talents. And I just want to encourage you, if you weren't here, they're really worth listening to. Even if you were here, you might want to listen to it again. And so it's so easy. You just go onto iTunes and you download it, and then you can listen to it, you know, in bed, on the way to work, whatever. If you don't know how to operate iTunes, that's fine. Just ask at the office and they'll find somebody so that you can listen to it. It's all for free. But Ruby finished by saying, when she was speaking about the parable of the talents, and you know, the one guy got 10 talents and the other guy got 5 and the one person got 1. And she finished by talking about the guy who had the 1 talent. What was his real problem? What was his real issue or his downfall? Can you remember what she said? You have to say it in a big loud voice. I can't hear from here. Yeah, he didn't know his master. He didn't know the heart of his master. He didn't know what he was trying to do and what his plan was, what the big picture was. And that is so important for us. So we're Christians, we're a congregation, and it is so important that we know what God is wanting to do. And so that's what I'd like to speak about today. So my parable, I'll call it mine, it's actually Jesus, comes from Matthew chapter 18, verse 12 through 14, and it goes like this. If we can go into the next slide, thanks, Fiona. That's the one. If a man owns 100 sheep, and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he's happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. And this parable so clearly shares the heart of our Father in heaven. Also the heart of Jesus, because they have the same heart. And that is Jesus' heart, to go after those who do not yet know him. And if he sees a sheep, we'll carry on the analogy, if he sees a sheep that is outside and separated, then Jesus must go and get that sheep and bring it in so that it has protection and so that it has food and water and the opportunity to heal. That is his heart, and we need to understand that. Now, if sheep could be jealous, the other 99 aren't, because every time God goes on a rescue mission to get that one sheep, that just reminds them of what he did for them and his commitment to them. That's what he did for them, that's what he's prepared to do for them time and time again. And so God's just demonstrating to us his heart. And this has always been his heart right throughout time. Because if you look way back in the Bible in Genesis 12, next slide, thanks Fiona. In Genesis 12, God makes this incredible promise to Abraham. And it's a promise that we naturally love because it talks about blessing those who bless us and cursing those who curse us. I mean, how good is that? Yeah. But if you look down the very end, you see why God is doing this. And it finishes with, "And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So God's intention has always been not just to bless a certain group of people, but to bless everybody. And he will always be reaching out to those who do not yet know him. That's where his heart is, always looking out to include people. So all the way through the Old Testament, God is so wanting to bless the Israelites so that the people around about them will see that and they'll go, "Ah, fear God, he's the real God." and that they will join themselves to him and they will follow him. And it's the same in the New Testament too. That is still God's heart. And if you look in Matthew 10, next scripture. Thanks, Fiona. John 10. Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. And do you notice the must? This is something that is so on Jesus' heart. It's just a compulsion. I must bring them. And so if Jesus cares that much for lost sheep, and we know he's talking about lost people, then we as a congregation need to pay attention to that and be ready. And that's why as a church we are moving to a focus. Mick has been sharing about faith sharing. And what I want to focus on today is us as a church being ready so that when people come and join us, we're ready to welcome them and to integrate them and to be a part of their healing and to help. And Jesus has a message for us at Manurewa Baptist. I really believe this is his message to us, and it's get ready. It's get ready because I'm going to be bringing people to you, and they are important to me. They're so important to me. These people that Jesus will bring to us, they're so precious in his sight. And we need to be ready as a congregation to receive them. And you just imagine if sheep number 100 gets rescued by the shepherd and comes back and joins the flock of 99, but doesn't really get welcomed and doesn't really get integrated, or there's no real help or assistance there, and sheep decides to wander off again. That's a big thing in the eyes of the shepherd, yeah? The shepherd who loves those sheep, that's a big thing. So we need to really be ready. Now, we have this romantic idea of sheep, especially those of us who live in the city. They're beautiful and white and fluffy. But the truth is that a lot of stray sheep and feral sheep, they're not that pretty. Can you remember years back, it must have been about 10 years back now, there was this sheep that they found in the back of King Country, I think, that had been like feral for years. They called him, do you remember the name? Shrek. I think we've got a picture. Thanks, Fiona. This is Shrek. And then I've got some pictures of some other sheep as well. Thanks, Fiona, the next one. These sheep that have been out, separated from the flock, they're not pretty, yeah? And so we need to be ready and we need to be prepared. The next one, some of them are just plain annoying. I mean, how annoying is that black sheep to be sitting and freeloading? Next one, would you like the sheep to be joining you? And the next one, some of them are just plain weird or scary. And the next one, now, I do have a confession. That's actually in a llama, but close enough. But these, still, look at the scripture, and this also comes from Matthew 18. How precious are these little ones in his sight? Their angels always see the face of the Father in heaven. And if you've heard that scripture before, and I'm sure you have, we just automatically think it's talking about children. But if you read that in context, I don't think it is. And this is about those that Jesus is wanting to bring in to be a part of our body, our group, our herd. It won't be easy. We only get to see the pictures. We don't get the smells. So it might not be easy, but this is what's on the heart of Jesus, and we need to prepare as a congregation. And have you ever stopped to think what we look like to them? And this might be from the outside looking in. So as a church, we do a good job. I do believe that. We do a good job of welcoming people. And Joe and I are fairly new. We've been here 2 years. And we have been made to feel welcome. And I know that a number of other people have said the same thing, that we do a good job as a church. I want to say it's one thing to be welcomed, and it's another thing to be integrated and to belong. It's one thing to be welcomed, and it's another to really be made to have connections, to be made space for, and to be really integrated into people's lives. And this is something we can work on as a church. We want to be able to join and connect And part of it is to do with communicating the right information, you know, about children's programs and home groups and different groups that meet during the week, where the toilets are. These things are really important. But more, it's about us making connections with people. Making connections. It's so important that we obviously are connected with Jesus and that we give him the right to speak into our lives and lead us and guide us. But we also need to be making connections with the people beside us and having real, meaningful, honest relationships. And then when people come to join us, that we will be able to extend those relationships to them and those connections to them. It says in 1 Peter 2:5, thanks Thea, like living stones you are being built into a spiritual house. So I got to thinking, what does this look like? Like living stones you're being built into a spiritual house. Next slide, thanks Fiona. So here's a bunch of, I couldn't get living stones, here's bricks. A bunch of bricks together in one place. Is it a house, a place of protection? Not yet. And so this could be a group of, next slide. This is what a group of organized bricks looks like. These ones have been neatly stacked. And so this could be a group of people who have the right beliefs and the right standards. But like Wilson said, that's not enough. He had a fancy name for it. What was it? Ortho something. Orthodoxy, I think it was. It's not enough by itself. And the next picture is even more organized group of Christians. And so maybe these guys have a common purpose and a common goal. But is this strong? Is this something that you would run to when you need shelter, when you need protection? Not yet, eh? So we come to the next slide. And it seems like a silly question, but what's the difference? Yeah, that they're bound together. There's connections. And this is for us as a church. We want to be bound to Jesus, each one of us. But we're not just individually bound to Jesus and it finishes there. We need to be bound to one another. And for some people, I don't mean some people, I mean there's people that we naturally click with and we just naturally get on with them, or it's just so easy to share with them, pray with them, be vulnerable to them. And then there's other people that it's not. But we want to be a church that is bound and connected, that has this strength. Yeah? And any time we have this bound and connectedness, we do this sharing life together, there's going to be times of real joy. And there's going to be times when you get the support and the help you need just when you need it. And that is a beautiful and a fantastic thing. But any time you get people living life together, there's also going to be misunderstandings, yeah? And there's going to be hurt. And there's going to be disappointment. There might be disappointment with leaders. What are they doing? Or the way that they're doing it. There's going to be all sorts of things that crop up. And in those times, it might seem easier not to be connected. There's certain people you would prefer not to be connected with because of the way that they have hurt you, or the things that they have said to you, or the way that they have snobbed you or overlooked you. Or maybe you thought that you should get that position or responsibility in the church, or maybe you don't feel needed or welcomed. There's all sorts of reasons why we don't want that connectedness, or we hold back that connectedness. But as soon as we do that, we come, sorry, just the next one, thanks Fiona, we go back to this. Yeah, if there's no connectedness with us, then we go back to being weak, and we're not a place of shelter, and we're not a place of welcome and strength and nurturing. And at the time that the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, back in the Second World War, it looked like this. This was the devastation and the destruction. But if you go to the Peace Park, has anybody been to the Peace Park in Hiroshima? Yeah, a couple. There's this building that's basically at ground zero. Next one, thanks Fiona. And it survived, and it stood, and it's still standing there today. And it's because of that connectedness. There's a strength there. And we want to be, we want to be a church that has a real strength. Because we know that there are times of trial coming. There are hard times coming, and we really will need to be connected and integrated with one another. That is just so important. Now, I know that it's hard to forgive when people hurt you, rub you up the wrong way, ignore you, have different ways of doing things than you. That can be hard to let go of, and it can be hard to forgive. But what we're doing here is so important that we can't let anything get in the way. We're building a church that will be here for each other, and we're building a church that will be here for the people that Jesus brings to us. And that is so important, and so important to Jesus, that we need to forgive and to let go of all of those things that stop us wanting to be with certain people, or join hands with certain people, or stand with them, or pray with them. It is so important. Jesus has such a heart, such a burden for people's well-being, and he brings them to us, and we need to be a church that has learnt to walk together and to operate as a body. It's so important. Next picture, thanks. And this is our cute image of sheep. We've been celebrating as a congregation the new babies that we have. I mean, physical new babies here. Forget about sheep. We've got a lot of newborns in the congregation, and that's an awesome thing. And we have newborns on the way. We have babies coming on the way as well, which is a fantastic thing. Just imagine for a moment that somebody's been pregnant for this 9 months and it's finally time for the delivery, and they turn up at the hospital. But when they go to the hospital, they find that the doctor's not prepared to talk to the nurse because the nurse took their parking spot. And the nurse isn't prepared to speak to the anaesthetist because the anaesthetist snobbed them in the cafe. Or whatever petty things that we get upset about. Imagine if that medical team isn't prepared to work together, and so nobody's prepared to deal to the needs of this mum and this baby. Inconceivable, right? It's just not going to happen. It's so important that people just put aside whatever their issues and their concerns are, because the baby is that important. And it's the same for us as a church. We have very real hurts and grievances and problems, but what we are doing is so important that it's urgent that we put them aside and that we get right with one another. It is really, really urgent, and it is pressing. And because we have these new babies in the congregation, I just know that in not very long there's going to be some dedication services, and they're pretty special. And often, so Mick will get the family up and the baby, and then he'll ask us to stand as a congregation, and we stand to make a commitment that we will be a part, we will be a church that will honour and bless this young one, and we will stand with mum and dad and help them in all of that. And that is a fantastic thing, but in order for us to stand together, we must be prepared to let go of those things, any hurts, any grievances that we have. We must be prepared to do that, because we can't hold on to a grudge and we can't hold on to a grievance and at the same time hold the hands of our brothers and sisters. And I just want to encourage you, these baby dedications are coming. Before they come, anything that you've got, any problems that you've got with your fellow brothers and sisters, or with leadership, or whoever, deal to them. Because they're not important enough to stop us standing as a church for one another and for these new ones, whether that's a new baby or whether that's someone that Jesus brings us from the community. Nothing should be more important than us standing and being a body for them, that we can be a part of their healing and their wholeness. But let's not fool ourselves that if we will hold on to our unforgiveness and our grudges, that we will in any way be effective in dealing with other people's hurts and grievances. Yeah, that's just something that's so important. So we need to forgive and we need to settle disputes. And we need to do it urgently. Today's a good day. Today's a good day to start doing that. So some practical steps. Number one, thanks Fiona, next slide. The first one is get connected. Whether that's joining a home group or starting a new home group or finding one or two people that you are just able to be honest with and share your heart with, or whatever's going on in your marriage or what's going on for you in your work, or finding somebody that you can pray with, we need to get connected. We don't want to be a church of people who meet, but really we are individual bricks. We want to be a church that is connected. Each one of us so needs people that we can be honest with, that we can cry with, that we can share our heart with, and people can stand with us. That is so important. Number two, we need to forgive any offences. Did I mention that already? Good. Number three, we need to discover and use our talents. And so Ruby was sharing that last week. And I think it's so often we can look at the skills and the abilities that we have and think, nothing worth trumpeting here. I think I'll just sit quietly. And I think, remember when Jesus was speaking to the crowds and there was something like 5,000 men, and so also there would have been heaps of women and there would have been heaps of children. And it came a time when they were hungry and Jesus wanted to feed them. And there was a little boy and he had some small loaves and some fish. And you can just imagine him looking at his loaves and his fish and looking at 5,000 hungry adults and kind of hiding it behind his back. That's what I would do. I mean, who in their right mind in that situation is going to go, oh, I've got something? But he did. And you know the rest of the story. And so that's for us as a church. Whatever it is that we have in the way of talents or abilities, we need to discover those talents and abilities and start to use them. Big or small, God can use them powerfully. Number four, be ready to welcome all people and see them as God sees them, even if they look to us different, untidy, inappropriate, whatever it is. We need to be a church that is really ready and welcoming. Do I have an amen? Oh, that's good. Number five, we need to be prepared to forgive. Now, I know I mentioned that already, but it comes up again and again because no matter how long we are Christians, there will always be something that happens. Every day something happens and we need to forgive and we need to release and we need to hold on to that connectedness. Number six, get behind Mick and Ruby. I don't think either of them are here today, so I can speak freely. It's all good. It's all good. Jesus has called Mick and Ruby here to this church. I believe that, and he's called them here for a reason, and we need to get behind them. Now, that doesn't mean that every single word they say is anointed and straight from God. And Mick and Ruby will be the first people to say, man, something doesn't strike you as right, come and see us. Come and talk to us. They would be the first to say that. But we as a congregation just need to be so fully behind them, praying for them, encouraging them, finding different ways to love them. That will be important to our well-being as a church. There will be times when they say things that just annoy you and don't seem right. Let's keep the big picture in mind here. God has a purpose and a plan, and it's so very important and key. So let's get in behind them. And number seven, pray for the church and pray for one another. This is key as well. So that's the parable of the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes in the search of one. Please hold on to those practical things. Now, I also want to speak about, what did you term it, Malcolm? I love the term. I think it was a financial gathering program. Was it? It was beautiful. So our God has a big vision for us as a congregation and our community. But he also looks beyond Auckland, beyond New Zealand, overseas. And there's people who have left Auckland and other churches in New Zealand and gone overseas to be a part of that. And so the mission that we're talking about connected with this whole self-denial thing is Transcend. It's the Baptist mission. And we have the opportunity to be a part of what they are doing overseas, again, on rescue missions, bringing in those sheep. And so I'd like to show just a short video that will show you some of the things that these people are involved in. Now, you might just have to wait for a minute or two while we get the video sussed, but it will be worth the wait. So, you're a marvel, Fiona. Brilliant. And there will be sound there as well. Maybe once they start speaking. No, there should be sound now, actually. Take 10 seconds to talk to your neighbour. Yeah, I just wonder if there's a sound. I'm going to turn myself off here.
Part of Thailand.
Peter and Linley are serving with Transcend in Southeast Asia. They see their role as preparing the nets for the local church.
When Transcend sent us here to this part of Thailand, we had the aim of how can we best equip Thais for their ministry. And so through the projects, Quail Project, the sewing project, the weaving project, through teaching English, through teaching music, all of this is equipping Thai Christians so that they can minister more effectively. One, they have an income. Two, they're using their skills and they can do the work of ministry way better than us.
One example is where they have facilitated the local church in drilling wells funded by New Zealand Baptists.
The water well can help Christian churches to come easily in the village to talk, to make relationships.
In Ban Sawang, the work that is going on with the kids is a direct outcome of a well being put there. The well was put in 2 years ago, and initially I and another Thai couple went out every Saturday, and we taught a little bit of English, and then we did Bible stories with the kids. A direct outcome of the well being put in that village.
Another way they are serving the local church is with music lessons.
We've been working with a local girl and teaching her music, and so she's better able to serve the church and create more opportunities to reach out into the community.
I think for the church having a musician like Amina, it gives not just the church an up-and-coming person, but it gives that community that they are living in our vision of this is what a kid in our community is capable of doing.
Linley has also been developing Bible study notes for new believers.
It was on the day off, I was praying, and it was like God really put on my heart, write notes suitable for new believers.
These notes help new disciples grow in their knowledge and understanding of the scriptures.
So it is resourcing the Thais who are working with new believers to have something that's not translated from Western thinking, just translated into Thai, but it's been critiqued by Thais, for Thais, and is proving to be useful.
Peter and Lindley are committed to their work at the Water's Edge, serving the local church.
And so it's like we have made the nets, prepared the nets.
Thanks, Jan, that's
good. Are the ones that then go out and use them in the communities where they are.
And then just at the end of my PowerPoint, there's a PowerPoint of Peter and Lindley. Cool. So you saw there in the video of Peter and Lindley, there was a girl that they were teaching to use a keyboard. And so her name was Amina, something like that. And through her witness, one of the kids in the school that she attends became a Christian as well. Her name is Jen. And then Jen teamed up with another friend, Aor, who's also from the same area, who's a believer. And together they started to do outreach in their community through Korean lessons, of all things, because there's a Korean teacher at the school who is also a Christian. And they're looking to establish a church in that area. So God's running these rescue missions in these different places in Thailand, and then the people that get rescued, they go out and are a part of other people coming to know God as well. Does that sound like something you'd like to be a part of in some way? It's kind of exciting. And it's just the tip of the iceberg of the stuff that goes on. If you go onto your Google, your internet, and you type in TransEnd, TransEnd, it might be on there. Oh, there it is. Transcend. It's got all sorts of videos, and it's also got all sorts of prayer sheets. And so you, in your home group, you might choose to adopt one of these mission families. There's single people, there's families, there's couples, and just make it a consistent point of prayer or writing letters or sending gifts or giving. There's a lot of good material on there. So today is the start of our week of self-denial. Actually, this year it's called prayer and self-denial, because it's just that recognition. It's not just, are we able to raise some money that we can send over to be a part of what they're doing? It's also that element of supporting them in prayer. So I just want to encourage you, take this on, especially over the next week or the next few weeks. There'll be a grace period around when you bring the money in. Take it on as a family or take it on as a home group. Get your kids involved. Are there ways that you can pray for these families that are out there? Are there ways that you can raise money for them? And I've just got a few ideas for you. If Peter and Lindley can go without real coffee, what if you went without real coffee? This is easy for me because I don't drink coffee. What if you went without real coffee for a few weeks and gave those savings towards them? And if they can go without shopping malls, what if we were to do the same and set a period of time? It might be a week, it might be 2 weeks, it might be a month. Sorry, this doesn't get you out of supermarket shopping. But there might be a set period of time where you say, okay, I wonder if I can manage not to go into Glassons or Hallensteins for 1 month. I wonder how much money I'd be able to save, and could I give that money to support these people and the work that they do? Is there stuff that you can put on Trade Me? Maybe in your situation, the thing that you really have is time. And so you could put a notice in the church notices that says, I don't have a lot of stuff to put on Trade Me, but if you want to get me yours, I'll put it on Trade Me for you, and I'll manage the auctions, and I'll look after the posting and the receiving of money. That might be something that you can do. So the message is, where there's a will, there's a way. Get creative. Think about different ways that you can do it. And it may also be that during this time you'll really think, okay, I'd like to send a letter just to encourage these folks. Because when you out overseas that is so encouraging, whether that's an email. For some people are in a position where they do get internet and they can get email, and for other people it might be a real letter. And if these prayers and these gifts mean that some of these missionaries can stay for longer, that's a big thing. It's a really big thing. If these prayers and these gifts or letters of encouragement mean that other people can go and join them and support them, that's huge as well. I know Peter and Lindley, when they went to where they were a part of three. There was three missionary families from New Zealand. Two of those missionary families have had to come back to New Zealand, and they've been by themselves for the last 4 years. And so it's a big thing if there's a level of giving that enables other people to go out and join. That's a big thing. It's a big encouragement. If your prayers and gifts mean that these missionaries are encouraged to persevere in a place, I put this because I have a friend who's in Africa, and he's so frustrated because every time he goes to do any, apply for a driver's license, apply for a visa renewal, apply to buy a piece of property so that he can set up a mission school, he always gets asked for money. That's the whole corruption thing. And you know, for us officials, they don't do that to us. We get frustrated with them, but they don't ask for money before they do anything. And when we get pulled over by the cops, it's because we've been speeding. When he gets pulled over, it's because he is white and they expect some money. How frustrating would it be if every time you go out driving with your family, you get pulled over by policemen who are corrupt? And so it is a frustrating experience sometimes. And if our prayers and our gifts mean that they are able to persevere and hack it for another 6 months, for another year, that is a big thing. This friend of mine, he's the same age as Barack Obama or John Key, to put it in context. But just recently he did this massive cross-country trek. He's in Africa. So that he could go and check out this new village that wanted to have a mission school. And he had the opportunity to share with a whole lot of Muslim families. He's old, and it's not comfortable going cross-country in bad transport. But that's why we need to encourage and to support. Where Peter and Lindley are at the moment is regularly over 40 degrees during the day and drops to 28 overnight. And I think the Cornelius has shared as well. In those situations, it's hard to sleep. And you know that your tolerance level for things goes down when you don't sleep and when you're tired. So they really do need our support. If your prayer and your gifts mean that they are encouraged to try and tackle again that weird language in their area, then that's important too. Such a struggle. How many of us can speak other languages? It's hard, yeah. Doesn't come easily to Kiwis, but they stick at it and they persevere and they need our encouragement. And if it means that they have the strength to handle culture shock. When I was in Japan, not as a missionary, I was just teaching English and raking in lots of money. But culture shock can be that when you step out of your house, you are on display because you're the only person who looks like you in that whole area. There are millions and millions of people who look completely different and you stand out and they want to touch you and they want to touch you. And you go shopping and there's times when you're just having a bad day and you want to be inconspicuous and you can't. And it's hard sometimes for these families. And also they're in a culture where things are just different and it can seem that everybody is rude because they don't have the same idea of manners or courtesy. Or it can seem that you're forever making mistakes with the language. So they really do need our encouragement and our prayers. And also because we get to come and join together and worship and do Bible studies and just talk. And a lot of these families are in isolation and they don't have that privilege. So they really need our prayers and our support and our letters of encouragement. And then also, I did want to show two other videos, but it's a bit tricky today, IT-wise. There was another video that showed this family in India. And a missionary went to them and gave a New Testament because the father was interested. The father couldn't read or write, neither could the mother. So they got their young son to read them the New Testament. And the father was so touched by Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, that he gave his heart to God, and then the wife did, and the child has. And so they are now being discipled. And if you read Matthew chapter 1, 18 and 19, that is weird verses, and how on earth could God ever reach anybody through that? But something as simple as a Bible is turning families around. And there was another one where this church had a vision that we've got school holidays coming up. What if we were to run a children's program? And they prayed and they prayed, and then they advertised. And then the children came and they had a blast, and they got to hear about Jesus, and they got to do exercise and dances and puppet shows. And then on the last day of holidays, they got to invite their mothers and fathers to come and see. And so they also got to hear the gospel. These are good things for us to be involved in as a church. So I do encourage you at the end of the service today, please do come up and grab a glass. Now, I know what you'll be thinking, this is ridiculously small. So the good news is that you can use whatever it is to collect your money at home and bring it back in the form of a check or FPOS or bank transfer or whatever it is, because you might like to keep this to remind you through the years that these people need our prayers and they need our encouragement. But do remember to come up, and not long after the service finishes, there will also be sheets up here that outline prayer points for some of the families that are out there, and you might like to take that and pray through it as a home group, as a family, or just for yourself. Does that sound good? Yeah, cool. Did you have anything to... Cool, let's pray, and we'll send you out. Lord, you have been good to us. Lord, you've gone in search of us, and you have found a way to open our eyes to your goodness, and you have shared with us forgiveness in the name of your Son. And now you're wanting to do the same in our community. And Lord, we pray, build us as a church, that we will be your hands and your feet and your mouth to encourage and to heal and to love those that you bring to us. And Lord, we've seen and we heard also how you are reaching out across the world in different villages and communities. And we just praise your name that you have called people and sent them out, and you continually encourage and support and strengthen them. And Lord, you let us be a part of this as well. So as we go from here today, keep it on our hearts and minds, Lord, that we will find ways to pray, to encourage, and to raise finances. And we just thank you that you have given us incredible privilege of being a part of these things that you are doing that have such consequences here and now and for eternity. And we bless your name. Amen. So God bless you. The glasses will be here. Feel free to come up and grab them. And we know that you love to chat and socialize afterwards, so we're going to put some by the doors just in case you put your glass down and forget as well. God bless you.